Kids Night Bible Study. Glad that you are with us online. Amen. Whether you're watching live or whether you're watching, you know, an hour later or tomorrow or whenever. But we're glad that you're with us. Praise God. Are you ready for the Word of God tonight? Yes. Glory to God. As John said, things are, you know, it's this Sunday. Then the next Sunday is actually our Christmas program. Now, there'll be another Sunday after that before Christmas. But, you know, most churches do it that sometimes it's a little bit closer to Christmas Day, because if Christmas comes on the Wednesday or Thursday, you're only missing it by 8 or 9 days. But you have to do it that earlier Sunday, because that's before schools get out and people have their holidays and so forth. Anyway, so January the 12th is just around the corner. Amen. Praise God. Let's open our Bibles to James chapter 1. James 1, familiar passage to us. James 1, verse number 22, James by the Spirit says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Amen. Later in the book of James, over in James chapter 2, you know this, it says, "Faith without works is dead." In other words, faith without actions is dead. If you really believe, if you really trust in God, if you really trust that His way is the right way to go, then you will act on what He tells you to do. And the Weymouth translation says it that way. It says, "Faith has corresponding actions." So faith without works, faith without actions, faith without corresponding actions is dead. That means it's useless and doesn't produce anything. And we've all heard many, many messages on being a doer of the word. We've all heard many messages on how that real faith always has corresponding actions. Can you say amen? Yes. But I think there may be some things we may not have seen here as clearly as we should have. So notice again some things here. James chapter 2, verse number 1 says, "My brethren, do not hold the faith." Notice it uses the word faith there. Do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. Well, the wording is a little unclear to us there. The structure of the sentence is a little unclear. But as you study that out and read it and look at different translations, you'll see what he's saying is. James is simply saying, don't act contrary to your faith by showing respect of persons. In other words, if you mistreat people because they're, you know, if you treat people, somebody comes in, you know, that's what he goes on to say. Somebody comes in and they're rich and they're wealthy and you favor them and you treat them better than you would somebody that doesn't have as much money, then you're showing respect of persons. So love wouldn't treat other persons better, any one person better than another person, just because of their race or just because of their wealth or just because of their position. Amen. And of course, Romans 2:11 says, God doesn't show respect of persons, neither should we. Can you say amen? See, showing respect of persons is not acting in love. Amen. Well, if you don't act in love, or if you show respect of persons, then you're acting contrary to your faith. So we're talking about respect of persons. But notice the way he uses the term your faith there. Amen. Faith, you know, your faith there has to do with your Christian faith. Glory to God. In other words, doing the teachings of Jesus. When you do the teachings of Jesus, when you obey the teachings of Jesus, because you believe the teachings of Jesus, then you are practicing your faith. Can you say amen? Yeah. Amen. So again, notice how James, I mean, this is where James is the one going to go on and teach on faith without works is dead. And mostly we use that to teach a faith message in the sense of, you know, the Word of God says such and such, by stripes you were healed, so you believe that and you have corresponding actions. But notice he's also using that term, your faith, as to mean just obeying anything that the Scriptures tell you to believe because you're part of the faith. Are you following me? For instance, we just read that in James 2:1. If you read on down there, verse number 14, where he says, talks about faith without works, he says, "My brethren, or what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works, does not have actions, corresponding actions, can faith save him?" And then notice the example he gives. "If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things that are needed for the body, what does it profit?" Now, if there's a brother or sister in the Lord and they have a need and you have the ability to meet that need, should you meet that need? Should you be involved in helping that person? That's what you would do if you're practicing your faith. And of course, over in John, he says some similar things. I'll look, you don't have to go there, but I'll just look at it real quick. In John chapter 1 John 3, actually backing up to verse 14. Now you understand that John, when you read John's writings, people actually try to make John say the exact opposite of what he's saying a lot of times. They're kind of spiritually dyslexic. You know, God backwards is dog, but there's a lot of difference between God and dog. And so they try to read John as saying, if you keep his commandments, that means you love him. That's not what John is teaching. John says, if you love him and abide in him and walk in the light, then you will do these things. You don't do these things, you know, to prove that you have love for God, that you're abiding in him, that you're walking in the light, but because you are abiding in him and walking in the light. So you have to know that about John's writings. So John says in John 3, verse number 17, got your ears on tonight now? He says, or let's read verse 14 rather, John 3, 14. We know we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Who does not love his brother abides in death. He didn't say you weren't born again if you follow his. He's just saying you're not abiding in the truth. You're not abiding. You're walking in darkness. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. But that by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's good and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Abide. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and truth. Glory to God. But in deed and truth. Amen. So if you refuse to help those in need and you have the ability to do it, or if you operate in hate toward others, even though you're a believer, then he's saying that what John is saying is you're not living in line with the faith. You're not operating the way a Christian should operate. You're not practicing your faith. Are you following me? Amen. You're not practicing true Christianity. So James is saying if you show respect of persons, or if you don't, with compassion, help those in need when you have the ability to help them, then your faith, using that expression, your faith, doesn't have corresponding actions. Amen. You're not a doer of the word. And your faith in these instances then is dead. That means it's useless. Of course, faith believes and acts on the promises of God. I'm just trying to get over to you two things here when it comes to the way the Bible uses this expression, our faith or the faith sometimes. Number one, if we have faith in Jesus, then we will believe and act on his promises. If we have faith in Jesus, we believe and act on his promises. But also, if we have faith in Jesus, as the Bible uses the phrase faith, we will practice or obey the teachings of Jesus, and we will be doers of his word. In other words, if he tells us to forgive, then we are to practice our faith and forgive. If he tells us to treat our wives a certain way, we are to practice our faith. When we do what he tells us to do, we are practicing our faith. We're being a doer of the word. Amen. I said amen. See, being a Christian means your sins are washed away. Aren't you glad? Being a Christian means that we've been made right with God. And it means when you die, you go to heaven. Oh, glory to God. But it's the Christian that practices his faith. It's the Christian, I'm just saying the same thing. Saying the same thing. Synonyms. These are synonym phrases. The Christian that practices his faith, or that's a doer of the word, or that believes the word. If you believe the word, you'll be a doer of the word. If you believe the word, you'll obey the word. A Christian that practices faith or that's a doer of the word is a Christian that overcomes and is blessed. You're not an overcomer just because you're saved. You're not blessed just because you're saved. Thank God you're saved, and that means you're going to heaven and your sins are washed away. But it's the Christian that practices the word. It's the Christian that's the doer of the word. That's the Christian that overcomes in life. That's the Christian that's blessed in life. Glory to God. See, being a Christian won't make you a good husband or a successful husband. Being a Christian husband that believes and acts on what the Word of God tells you about being a husband, doing what it says, treating your wife the way the Word says you should treat your wife, having the right kind of attitudes towards your wife that the Word tells you to have, that's what makes you a successful husband. That's what makes you a prosperous husband. That's what makes you a victorious husband or a good husband. And that's true of being a parent. That's true of being an employee. That's true of being an employer. That's true about our money. That's true about our health. That's true about our finances. That's true about our relationships. That's true about our prayer life. That's true about everything that concerns any aspect of our lives. Being a Christian doesn't mean you have a successful prayer life. Being a Christian that knows what the Word of God says about prayer and actually puts that into practice in everyday reality, that's what makes you a successful prayer. And again, being a Christian parent doesn't mean you're a good parent. There's a lot of Christian parents that are not good parents at all. A Christian who is a parent that does, that acts on, that obeys the Word of God and puts into practice parenting principles taught to them by the Word of God. That's what makes somebody a good parent. If you're following me, say amen. Amen. So when a Christian does, synonymous, or obeys, or believes and acts on what the Bible tells them to do in a particular area, then they will be blessed in that area. Amen, amen, amen. Now, look back at James chapter 1 again, James 1, verse 25, because it just tells us this. We're talking about you'll be blessed in that area. Lost my place there. James 1, 25. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty, that's the word of God, and continues in it, it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Again, the wording is a little unclear to us. Amplified Bible says, an active doer who obeys, a doer of what? A doer of the word. An active doer who obeys. Understand something here. I'll come back to this. You'll never obey or do the word unless you believe it. In any area. In any area. Obedience in any area is a result of faith. Obedience and faith are so tied together that some people don't make any distinction. You can read that for a lot of people and they go, look, if you obey, it's because you're in faith. If you're in faith, you will obey. You see, faith, the result of faith is that you believe. You trust that God's way is the right way. You really believe that, so you do that instead of your way. The result of faith is that you understand that that's the best way to go. So when the Bible tells you to forgive, you may say, but I don't want to forgive, and I think it would be right for me to speak out against them, but you know, whatever you want to do. But if you say, no, I'm not going to do it, I'm going to go God's way, it's because you believe, you trust that what God's telling you is the right thing to do. And when you trust and believe that what God's Word is saying to you is the right thing to do and the right attitude to have and the right way to behave and the right way to think, and that then you will act like that's true. You will obey that. Amen? Faith leads to obedience. Say that. Say, faith leads to obedience. If you believe, you will act. If you believe, you will obey. If you act and obey, it's because you believe. I said, if you act and obey, it's because you believe. One Greek word is very interesting. There's a Greek word, a very interesting Greek word that's sometimes translated unbelief and sometimes is translated disobedience. Same exact word. And sometimes in the King James Bible, this same word translated is sometimes translated unbelief and sometimes is translated disobedience. And then when you go to modern day translations, you know, then they do it the same word that the King James translated at the time the King James translated is unbelief, they'll translate it as disobedience. Or the King James will translate the word as disobedience, they'll translate it as unbelief. Why? Because disbelief or unbelief and disobedience are so closely associated. For instance, you're familiar with this. I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified Bible. You know, the children of Israel did not go into the promised land because of what? Huh? Unbelief. But many translations say they didn't go into the promised land because of disobedience. So the Amplified Bible says, take care, brothers and sisters. This is, you know, Hebrews 3:12. Take care, brothers and sisters, that there not be in any of you a wicked, unbelieving heart which refuses to trust and rely on the Lord. Then it says, so we see, this is chapter 3, verse number 19, we see they were not able to enter into his rest, the promised land, because of unbelief, an unwillingness to trust in God. An unwillingness to trust in God. Then in chapter 4, verse number 6, it says, therefore, since the promise remains for some to enter his rest, and those who formerly have the good news preached to them failed to grasp it and did not enter in because of their unbelief evidenced by disobedience. Their unbelief manifested as disobedience. And I think in most translations right there, it says they did not enter in because of disobedience. But it's the same word translated unbelief. And I like that. Their unbelief evidenced by disobedience. Unbelief is always evidenced by disobedience. And belief is always evidenced by obedience. Glory to God. The result of faith in any area is that you believe, you trust God's way, you know it's the right way, you believe it's the best way, and that leads you to obedience. Glory to God. Amen. I said amen. And not just trust that His promises are true, but you trust that what He says to you about finances is right and true. Well, why would somebody not tithe and give? I mean, if you have light on tithing and giving, John, would you go and see if you can find on my desk somewhere an article by Mac Hammond? Because I didn't bring that in here, I don't think. And it may be in a folder, manila folder on my desk. Well, why would you not tithe and give if you believe that you would, if you truly believe that you would be better off if you did it? Can you answer that for me? I mean, if does the Word of God teach if you tithe and give that you'll be better off? That you'll be blessed? Well, then why would you not do it? Well, it's because why would you not obey those scriptures? You don't obey those scriptures because you really don't believe that's the truth. See? So it's not just trust His promises, but to trust what God's Word says to do about forgiveness. To trust and believe what His Word says about finances or about marriage or about children. Glory to God. Man, you're really good. That'd probably take me an hour to find. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Glory to God. See, or about children, or about your mind, or about your job, or any area. If you don't believe that's the right way to go, then people say, well, I'm not going to do that in child training because I don't believe that's the right way to go. But why don't you believe it's the right way to go? Because you don't believe God's Word. If you believe God's Word and parents, you know, are willing to die for their children, they may not be willing to lay down their lives for anybody else. I mean, just, you know, metaphorically or literally, but they're willing to do it metaphorically and literally for their children. But why wouldn't they do certain things with their children? The Bible says, that teaches because they don't believe it's the right way to go. That brings me up to another little side point, but it's important. That's why you should never believe what I tell you, what anybody else tells you, unless they can back it up with the Word of God. Because there are people in this world that are very, 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 very serious about their relationship with Almighty God, and they are willing to do anything they believe that God wants them to do. So I can believe some religious lie and be willing to die for it, but it not be God at all. I mean, Muslims are willing to die for things that are not the truth. So always make sure that what you're believing is, you know, because if Jesus is really your Lord and you love Him that much and you're willing to do whatever if you really love Him with all your heart and you believe that He told you to give your house away, then you give your house away because there's not many people that would really love Him that much, but there are some that would really do it. But then if He didn't tell you to do it, then we appreciate, man, your commitment, but you ain't got a house no more. And God didn't lead you to do it. So always make sure you have God's Word on it. Unbelief manifests itself in disobedience. True belief manifests itself in actions or obedience. That's why real Bible faith is never works. Real Bible faith is not legalism. Obedience as a result of faith is never works. That's where people get confused. The Bible says, by faith, Abraham obeyed. Well, how did he obey? Well, because God told him to leave he believed God, and so he acted on what God told him to do. You know, there's people that won't move across town because I ain't doing that. No, but if God tells you to do it, then you should step out in faith and do it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. By faith, Abraham will believe. Real faith is always accompanied by actions. If it's not accompanied by actions, if it's not accompanied by obedience, it's not faith. Faith is not works. Faith is how you receive from God. Faith is how you please God. And faith cannot be separated from obedience because real faith always obeys. It always has corresponding actions. It's always a doer of the word. If I'm not a doer of the word, then it's not faith. That's why faith is never legalism. And when we believe, when we act, when we obey on the word in any area of our life, then we will be blessed in that area. Faith always has corresponding actions. It always obeys. So back to James 1:25. I was reading that to you from the Amplified and got sidetracked there. But it says, an active doer, one who obeys. Now listen, he will be blessed. That's the point I was trying to make. If I do what the word of God tells me to do in my marriage, then I'll be blessed in that area. If I don't do what the Word of God tells me to do in my marriage, then I will not be blessed in that area. If I do what the Word of God tells me to do with my finances, if I do what the Word of God tells me to do with my children, if I do what the Word of God tells me in relationships, if I forgive like the Word, in whatever, if I do what the Word of God tells me to do, I'll be blessed. So an active doer, Amplified says, who obeys, he will be blessed and favored by God in what he does or in his life of obedience. Other translations, because, you know, we're looking at these because this verse can be a little unclear the way it's worded. Another translation says, those who put it, the word they hear, into practice in their lives will be blessed in what he does. Another one, if you do what it says, you will have God's blessings. Another translation, if you actually do what it says, you will be blessed. It's the doing of it. God's not saying, okay, you did what I told you to do, so I'm going to bless you. No, he's saying it's the doing of it, obeying the principle. The principle leads to the blessing. The principle calls the blessing. God says this is the way it works. If you do it the way it ought to be done, then it's always going to produce a blessing. You follow me? And so it's the principle. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's the doing of it that brings the victory, the blessing, the success. Another way, God's way of doing and being always produces a blessing. Glory to God. So look at James 1:22 again. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now here's what I wanted to read to you from Mac Hammond. He said, since the fall of mankind, man has had to struggle with the effects of the curse that fell upon the earth. But thank God, Jesus delivered us from the curse through his work on the cross. Yet the curse is still being evidenced in the lives of many believers. Why is that? Didn't Jesus obtain for us all power of the enemy? Why then are Christians still in bondage? The truth is, in many cases, it's not the devil who's holding back God's abundant provision. It's the fault of the believer. It's true. The Bible says Christians deceive themselves by failing to act on the Word of God. In the first chapter of James, the Word of God reveals a major doorway through which Satan can come to deceive us. In verse 22 we read, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Watch this now. Every time some portion of the word is quickened to your heart, you know, you hear the word preached, you understand it. You know it's what the Bible's saying. Amen. You see that it's in context. Nobody's forcing it, making it say something. You see this is what the Bible is telling you to do about any area of life. Every time some portion of the Word of God is quickened to your heart and you fail or refuse to act on it, you leave a door wide open for Satan to enter your life with some form of darkness. In fact, as this verse indicates, in such a case, you are actually the agent of your own deception. So if any of us see what the Word of God tells us to do something or to believe something, and we fail to obey it, then what are we doing? Well, that means we sin. I mean, if the Word of God tells us to forgive and we just more or less shun it and go, I'm not going to, you know, then we sin and we deceive ourselves, we delude ourselves, and we open the door to the devil. Every time you fail to act on the Word, you are saying by your actions something You would probably never admit or say with your lips, you're saying, I don't believe God's word is true. I have a better plan. I have a better way of doing it. Every time you fail to act on the word of God, you are saying by your actions something you would probably never say with your lips. In other words, I don't believe God's word is true, and I have a better plan. At that point, the devil's work has been done for him. He doesn't need to try to sow doubt in your heart about the authority of God's word and the truth of his promises. You have done it to yourself. You have actually made it easier for Satan to bring the effects of the curse into that area of your life because he doesn't have to overcome your faith in the word anymore. Amen. So anytime we know what God's word says and we see what it says and we refuse to act on it, we refuse to obey it, it's because we don't believe God's word is true. We don't trust what God says. Wives, submit to your husband. By God, I'm not submitting to that rascal. I'm not going to. Well, do you even know what it means to properly submit to your husband? Like I said, there have been misuses in that area, and people have taught a whole bunch of garbage in the body of Christ about submission to authority. That's absolutely not the truth, but well-meaning people obeyed that because they thought it was the truth. But there is a scriptural truth there. That we not just submit to your husband, we're to submit to authority. You ever notice that we don't like to submit to authority? Your flesh doesn't. You know, I don't give her the checkout girl at the grocery store. You know, she at that moment, she's in a certain position. We don't like to submit to anybody in authority. The flesh. Amen. But anytime we refuse to act on, obey on God's word, to submit to authority, to love, to forgive, to whatever, it's because we don't believe God's word is true. We don't trust that what God says in that area is the right way to act, the right way to think, the right way to live, the right way to believe, or the right attitude to have. We deceive ourselves. See? We deceive ourselves. We don't believe God's word is true, so we deceive ourselves. How do we deceive ourselves? By believing something that is not true. Deception is believing something that is not true. Believing something that is not true. I believe that I'll be better off if I do it this way. Yeah, but that's not in line with God's word. Well, you know, this deception. Deception. James 1:22, Amplified. This is very good. Listen to this. Prove yourself doers of the word actively and continually obeying God's precepts and not merely listeners. Listen, then he describes that kind of person. These are people who hear the word, but fail to internalize its meanings. That's why we don't act on the word sometimes. It uses that expression. We don't internalize its meanings. In other words, we don't take it very serious. We don't really... It doesn't really get our interest enough, and it just goes in one ear and out the other ear. We don't take the time to really find out what it's really saying, what it means to us, and how we should apply it in our lives. We don't internalize it, and so we're not a doer of the word. Amen. And then the Amplified Bible says, deluding yourselves by unsound reasoning. Instead of deceiving yourselves, it says, deluding yourselves. This is how you're doing it, you're deluding yourselves by unsound reasoning contrary to the truth. Listening to what your senses tell you instead of what the Word of God says is unsound. Fickle feelings, fickle emotions, you know, natural truths that can change, be changed by the Word of God, that's unsound. See, glory to God. Listening to human philosophers and human counselors and the whatever popularly passes for wisdom at the moment about child training or about marriage or about your finances or about this or about the other. Listening to that, if it's contrary to the Word of God, it is unsound. It's not right. Nobody has more knowledge than the Creator of the universe. Amen? But deluding yourselves by unsound reasoning contrary to the truth, so people don't believe. Therefore, they don't act upon, or you could say they don't obey the word. because that's not what, they're not just that interested in what it says. They don't really pay attention to it. It just goes in one ear or out the other, or because they listen to and believe other things that their mental reasoning tells them, or that their flesh tells them, or that worldly views tell them. They believe those things more than they believe God's word. Thus they are deceived, and they don't act on the word of God, and they're not blessed in that area of their life. Someone hears about tithing and giving. They've heard it many times, but they don't really believe that's right for them. That's, you know, I mean, if somebody doesn't believe the Bible teaches that, that's one thing. But, you know, that's most people, that's not the issue. They know that that's right. They just ignore it, and they believe there's a better way to do it, so they don't do it. They don't believe God will bless them with more. So in this area, maybe not all areas of their life, but in this area, in their finances, there's no grace, there's no power, there's no favor on their finances. Somebody says, well, I'm doing okay financially, and I don't tithe and I don't give. Well, drug dealers are doing pretty good. They don't tithe and give either. I'm talking about being blessed by God. Somebody else is blessed to a certain degree, but they're blessed, as Tennyson Fitch said, he was preaching here and made a point, they're blessed by the sweat of their brow. Which in and of itself is a scriptural principle, because the Bible teaches that faithful, hard, diligent workers, you know, that versus laziness, and that produces good things. Amen. So they're at least obeying one principle. But the fact is, many people suffer financially and do without needlessly because they are not tithers and givers. Might as well get over it, because this is as good as it gets. Amen. We're almost over. This is as good as it gets. This is the high point. Others are, and others are not really as blessed as they could be. There's the deception. They think, well, I'm okay. Yeah, but they have no idea what they could be. Amen. Nor are they ever the blessing they could be. I dream about giving lots of money to ministries. I really do. In this area, because of their unbelief, because of their lack of faith, it leads to disobedience. It leads to a failure to act on or obey this particular command, this particular instruction, this particular directive from the Word of God. Imagine a believer at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, you know, this is a Wednesday night crowd. We can't talk in great detail about the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment, but not the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment is for people who die in their sins. They are sinners. No Christian will be before the great white throne judgment. Sinners stand before the great white throne of Jesus because they never made Jesus their Lord and Savior, and that's where they will be, you know, cast into the lake of fire forever and forever. No believer will ever be judged for their sins. Our sins are washed away by the blood of the Lamb. Can you say amen? Amen. But we will also stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is not to determine our salvation. The judgment seat of Christ is for believers, and believers will be rewarded, you know, for what they were called to do. Amen. So God says to Job, you know, you in your lifetime, with your talents and your abilities and what I had for you to do in life, you were called to give in your lifetime $1.2 million to the gospel to support my church, to support missions. And, you know, it would have helped ministers. It would have helped churches. It would have helped the poor. It would have helped fulfill the Great Commission. And so many people would have been saved because of it. And so many people would have been delivered by it. And so many people would have been taught the Word of God by it. But I see here in my record show, you only gave $14,000. And Joe says, but Jesus, I never had that kind of money. And Jesus said, but you would have had you obeyed me and tithed in faith and given in faith with right motives, you would have. And so Joe missed all kind of financial blessings here on the earth. He might have been okay, but he missed out on a lot that he could have had. And he did not get the reward. You know, I don't like to think of the judgment seat of Christ is not so much about what you lose, it's about what you're not rewarded for. But if you lose, but you do lose a reward eternally, amen. Now listen, I don't know if that's exactly how things are going to go down at the judgment seat of Christ, but I do know that anytime we are not obedient to the Word, anytime we are not doers of the Word, we deceive ourselves and we miss out on God's best for our lives. I do know that. And we open the door to Satan to steal, kill, and destroy. And even though we disobey in one area, the destruction might come in another area. So why? Why wouldn't a believer obey the word? Why wouldn't a born-again believer obey the word if God is good and God has our best interest at heart, and obeying the word will cause us to be successful, cause us to be blessed, cause us to overcome, cause us to defeat the devil, cause us to have a good marriage and to raise our children the way they, whatever, on and on and on. Why wouldn't a believer do that? Well, number one is because of the lust of the flesh. When people hear the lust of the flesh, they immediately think of sexual lust. But listen, lust in the Bible is any strong, wrong desire. I said lust is any strong, wrong desire. The Word tells us to forgive. The Word tells us to submit to proper authority. The Word says to have this attitude, not have that attitude. The Word tells us not to grumble, not to complain. The Word tells us to be compassionate. The Word tells us to be unselfish. The Word tells us not to be greedy. The Word of God tells us all kinds of things. But the flesh doesn't want to do any of it. Not my flesh, not your flesh. It feels good to the flesh to just go ahead and hold grudges. Feels good to the flesh. The flesh likes to do that. To nurse bitter feelings. To think about how I could get even with them. It's appealing to the flesh to gossip about people, to talk about people, to expose their faults to others. Or to only think of self. You know, instead of being unselfish, the flesh is selfish. For the flesh, it's good to be rebellious and greedy and on and on and on. So people don't obey the word of God because of the lust of the flesh. But the root problem of that is unbelief and fear. If I believe that forgiving them is the best thing for me and the best thing for them, then I wouldn't do it. See, unbelief leads to disobedience. I don't believe that what God's telling me to do. I hoard, be greedy, be not be humble, whatever it is. I'm thinking, no, my way's what's best. My way's what's right. If it's contrary to the Word of God, then you're believing a lie. And you're not believing the truth of God's Word. We're not believing the truth of God's Word. We don't believe that God's way is the best way to go. We don't trust what He says. We don't believe that His way is going to lead us to victory. Amen? We believe lies. That if we walk in love, that if we forgive and we submit, that we'll lose out in some way. They'll take advantage of me. They'll just walk all over me. I won't have my say-so. We believe lies that tell us we will be cheated in some way if we tithe and give. We believe lies that if we let go of some sin that we'll miss out in life. We believe that if we do it God's way, then we'll somehow be robbed in life. We believe wrong things. We don't believe God's word. That's what leads to the unbelief. That's what leads to the disobedience. We believe what our senses tell us instead of what God's word says. All of that leads to disobedience. All that leads to refusal to act on the word of God. Listen, side thought here, but here's a great key to deliverance. Willpower in and of itself is not the answer. You know, Paul said, in my flesh dwells no good thing. Paul, in essence, said in Romans chapter 7, he said, look, let me tell you something. You cannot overcome sin in the flesh. You can stand there and be going, I know this is wrong, but the wrong I want to do, I end up doing, all that. He says, you cannot do it in the flesh. You cannot do it. Place no confidence in the flesh is what he's saying. You cannot do it. And thinking that willpower is the answer is just another fleshly attempt to try to overcome, and it always leads to failure. You can't overcome just with willpower. You can't help ourselves. You can't become free. You can't become holy. And it always ends up in failure. We have a free will. And we must use our will. Yes, we have a free will. We use our will to say, even though my flesh wants to do wrong, I submit it to God. I want to hold a grudge. We're trying to say, no, I won't feel bad. I won't have the flesh. Honey, you can say you won't have the flesh from now to the day you die, and you can confess that a million, billion times, but you're going to have the flesh till you leave this earth. And the flesh at times is wanting going to do the wrong thing. Instead of just trying to say, I will, I won't, I won't, I won't, I won't, you just say, even though I have this wrong desire, this wrong attitude, even though I want to be full of bitterness or be greedy or be lustful or be jealous or be whatever it is, I even though I have it, I with my will submit to God and His Word. I let Jesus be the Lord of my life. I let Him be Lord in this area, and I submit my way to His way. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I choose to submit to God. I trust Him. I believe in what Jesus did for me on the cross. And when you do that, then the Spirit, then the grace, then the power, then the ability of God comes on you to enable you to overcome. So many people talk about it in their books, and it's wonderful. You cannot do it yourself. You can't do it in yourself. You can't do it in yourself. You must do it by the Spirit. That's good. You can say it a million different ways. But how does the Spirit do it? Well, you got to read your Bible. You got to pray. Yeah, but how does the Spirit do it? How does the Spirit grace you, enable you? It's when you choose to yield to His way. Even though your flesh is screaming at you, you just say, no, I submit it to God. I'm not sitting there going, no, 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 no. I'm saying yes to Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's a combination of unbelief and fear. Unbelief and fear. Unbelief and fear. What is fear? It's the opposite of faith. Unbelief and fear. Amen. Lead to not doing the Word. Lead to not being obedient to the Word. As we said, people are afraid if they go God's way, they will fail. They're afraid if they go God's way, they will lose out. They're afraid if they go God's way, they'll be cheated. Nothing could be further from the truth. God always has our best interest at heart. And His Word acted on in faith or obeyed in faith always leads to victory, always leads to blessing. Fear leads to not being a doer of the Word. Let me just close with this because we're out of time. Look at Luke 6:47. This is, you know, the story of the man who built his house on a rock. You know the story. In Matthew's account, you know, in Luke's account, it says, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings, you know, in Matthew's account, what does it say? Therefore, here's these sayings of mine. What sayings? By stripes you're healed. My God supplies all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Yes. But He's also talking about the sayings of you know, that He's just been teaching on. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Don't worry. Amen. Don't do your good deeds before men to be seen of men. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. He's talking about all those sayings. He's talking about if you want to overcome the tests and trials of life, you've got to be a doer of the Word. And you know what it says. It says, He is like a man, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, and does them, and does them. I will show you whom he's like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock of being a hearer and a doer of the Word. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So we know that. We've all heard teaching on that. We know we've all familiar with this. We've taught on this many times. But back up here. The reason I went to Luke's account is that's 47 and 49. Back up to verse number 46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Then he says, those that hear and do my sayings. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say? So the Word tells us something. It gives us a promise. It gives us instructions, injunctions, commands, directives, directions on what to do. That's what Jesus has been teaching on, you know, before he said all this, giving all kinds of instructions, all kind of commands and directions. You can know these instructions, you can know the promise, but still not obey them and do them, because in that area of your life, the ones that we're not doing, Jesus is not Lord. Jesus is not on the throne of our heart, as we used to teach on years ago. In that area, if the Word of God tells us to do something and we just ignore it or refuse to listen to it and just go do our own thing, it's because Jesus is not the Lord of our life in that area. But even then, the reason He's not Lord in our life in that area is, you know, that's a decision to make Him Lord. But it also goes back to there's some form of unbelief in there somewhere. We think, no, I can't do that because that's not the right thing for me to do. That's not best for me. That's not right to do. I've got to cheat in my business. If I don't cheat and fudge a little bit in my business and, you know, cheat on my taxes a little bit, I couldn't possibly be blessed. Well, if somebody believes that, then they don't believe the Word. See, whatever it is, doesn't matter what it is. So if we are not willing to submit to His Word, sometimes it's because Jesus is not the Lord of our lives in that area as He should be. Amen. So to be a practicing Christian that really practices Christianity, surrender every area of your life to the Lord. And believe His promises. And believe that His Word, His instructions, His directives, His commands are the right way to go. Glory to God. Then you'll be a doer of the Word. And when you're a doer of the Word, you'll be blessed. When you're a doer of the Word, when the storms of life come to your marriage, then your marriage will overcome. When the storms of life come to your finances, then you'll overcome. When the storms of life come to you mentally, then you'll overcome. It's the doer of the Word that's blessed. Can you say amen? Let's stand together. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's why, you know, we emphasize and others emphasize, and we always say that the missing ingredient sometimes to what we call the faith message today is that people don't accept the Word of God as their absolute final authority. This is what I live by. This is what I trust. This is what I believe is the absolute truth. This is my highest authority in my life. This is my final authority. This solves every issue for me. This settles every question for me. Whatever this says, that's the way we're going. Amen. That's the way we're going. Amen. Right. Amen. And people that have honestly and truly made that decision, like many of you have, you know, they are exciting to be around. They have a testimony every other day. That's what Brother Hagin did. You know, he's on that deathbed all those years ago. He said, "Lord, whatever I see for myself, I got to see it for myself. I got to see that it's really You. Whenever I see that, then I will be obedient to it." And so he got along there, and it says we're to, you know, cast all. It says we're not to. It says, you know, not to worry about anything. Take no thought for tomorrow. That's part of the sayings that Jesus was talking about when He said, "Whoever obeys these sayings of mine," one of them was, "Don't worry." And Brother Hagin thought, "Dear God, I can't do that." And so the light went out. And it never came back on until he got that straightened out. And so he led people in those kind of confessions over the years. Brother Copeland was one of them that said, in essence, from this day forward, Jesus is my Lord, He's my Savior, and He's my Lord. And from this day forward, anytime I see anything in the Word of God, I see it for myself. I see this is really God's will for my life. I see that this is the way that God wants me to live, this way God wants me to act, this way God wants me to talk. I will obey that. And so Brother Copeland and Sister Copeland made that decision. And their lives were radically changed. Radically changed. Glory to God. Amen? Amen. Why wouldn't we? Well, you know, you can't take the Bible that serious. you're just getting a little fanatical with this thing. You know what a fanatic is, don't you? That's somebody that loves Jesus more than you do. Now, when it comes to the real Word of God, you cannot be too fanatical. You cannot take it too seriously. And it changes your life. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. Say, I believe the Word. All the Word. I'm a doer of the Word. Because I believe the Word. I obey the Word. Because I believe the word. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Don't forget about prayer. We're starting about 15 minutes.